Amen. Well, we're going to. Now, let me just. I'll try both devices, see which one sounds the best. Praise God. We've been on a series of lessons. Does God engage in destructive behavior? Praise God. Amen. And we started out talking about seven principles of Bible interpretation. And we laid those out for you. So, because if you're going to understand the truth about God, you've got to understand how to interpret the Bible. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You see, this is God's book. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
This is God's revelation given to man. This book, every single one of these words in this book, Jesus said every jot and every tittle is God's word. Praise God.
Amen.
Every single one of these things is God's word. But you also know that there are certain things that are in this book that God did not say. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I heard the story about a judge one time who was trying a case, and I can't remember what the crime was or anything like that, but I think it had something to do with greed. And the judge said something to the effect that, well, you know, the good book says that skin for skin, a man will give his life. Well, that wasn't God who said that. That was Satan who said that. Praise God. See, if we don't learn how to read, understand, and interpret the book, then we won't understand the truth about God's character and God's nature. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. And so we got to understand that there are certain things that are cultural, and that's cultural to the Hebrews, and God spoke his word using the language and idioms of the people during that time. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
It is the job of Bible interpreters, commentators, and pastors and teachers, evangelists, apostles, and prophets to explain these things to you. Glory to God.
Amen.
That's why you have to come to church. Just reading your Bible by yourself at home, thinking that, okay, well, I'm all right. As long as I got my Bible and I got Joyce Meyer on television, I'm fine. No, you need to come where the Bible is being taught. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. So that we can explain these things to you so that you don't sit there reading your Bible saying, I'm so confused. What does this mean? Yep. Praise God.
Amen.
And so that's why we taught you seven principles of Bible interpretation that will help you to understand the truth concerning God, his character, and nature, and to help you to understand many of those things, especially in the Old Testament, and there's some in the New, that make God look pretty bad if we don't understand the cultural idioms. Praise God. I mean, just like I was talking to a man the other day, and he was trying to challenge me on certain beliefs. And I told him, well, the Bible says in the Old Testament that God deceived the prophets. And his first response to that was, what's wrong with God doing that? Flee! If he says he's not a liar, praise God.
Amen.
God says I cannot lie. It's impossible for me to lie. He told David, he said, In my holiness I will not lie unto David. Glory to God. Deception involves lying. And so if it says in Ezekiel 14:9, that's the passage that I'm talking about, that God deceived the prophet, then it behooves us as God's people to find out what did God mean by that when he said that. Praise God. And so and you don't just stop at saying, well, God is sovereign, he can do what he wants. No, God, just because he's sovereign doesn't mean he can just do anything or everything, because he said he cannot lie. Praise God.
Amen.
So God is not a deceiver. And so if you can understand the fact that God is not a liar and he's not a deceiver, then you can also understand where those passages in the Old Testament that says that God inflicted sickness on people, that God sent locusts, that God sent natural disasters. If you can understand that, then you can understand that all those are based on a permissive idiom. by which God is said to do that which he merely allowed or permitted. Glory to God. And so we answer that question, and we're going to even spend a little more time on it in this series as well. But it really helps your faith to understand that God is not like that, because if you don't understand this truth, when you're asking God to do something, then you'll accept any old thing that happens to you, praise God. Mm-hmm. Because you'll think that, well, God did this. He did this for my benefit, or whatever pious statement we try to make. But God is not like that, glory to God. Mm-hmm. And we'll also need to understand that we have an enemy and an adversary who's trying to kill, steal, and destroy us, praise God.
Amen.
But a lot of times we don't recognize that, and so we just, because we keep blaming God for everything. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So, last week, we began to talk about Jesus, comparing him to the Father and the Holy Spirit, and we came to the conclusion, based on Jesus' own words, that the Father and the Holy Spirit are exactly alike, praise God.
Amen.
And we asked the question, did Jesus ever go around afflicting people with sickness?
No.
Did he ever afflict anybody with sickness?
No.
He never gave anyone any sickness. And as a matter of fact, he went about healing, praise God.
Amen.
We asked the question, did Jesus ever cause any natural disasters? Did he ever send tornadoes and lightning strikes to destroy villages and stuff? We answered the question, no.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, one time, y'all remember in Luke chapter 9, verses 56, Jesus is about to go through the village, and the Samaritans told him, we don't want you here, get out of our city. And so his partners, James and John, I mean, you know, this is the reason why they called them boys the sons of thunder. They said, Jesus, look at how they treated you. You know what? Why don't we do like Elijah and call fire down on that city? And Jesus rebuked them and said, you don't know what spirit you are of. He said, I did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them, praise God.
Amen.
And that same Jesus said that whatever I do it because I see my Father do it, praise God. Jesus said, the words that I speak, my Father speaks them through me, glory to God.
Amen.
So if Jesus didn't go around destroying, then neither does the Father, praise God. Now, today I want to talk to you about the fact that there is one exception to this truth about Jesus never destroying. He did destroy one time, praise God. He did destroy, and we're going to talk about that, but he destroyed for our benefit. Hebrews chapter 2, let's look at that passage. This is very important for those of you who are members of this church, Christ Victory Bible Teaching Center. So you understand why we changed the name of the church, why we felt led of God to do that. First of all, we want to put the focus on Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
It's no guarantee that I'm going to be pastoring this church forever, praise God. There's no guarantee of it. I might be pastoring until Jesus comes. Then, you know, maybe one day the elders might get together and say, you know, we're getting tired here. We need a younger guy. Y'all might fire me. I don't know. Just make sure I get my good severance package. Praise God. Yeah, wait. Before you fire me, wait till it grows to at least 2,000 people so y'all can give me a good benefits package before I go. But in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, you're going to understand why we changed the name of the church, because we focus in on what Jesus Christ has done for us and on behalf of all humanity. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
It's not yes, it is the, God has given me the vision. He's made me the visionary, but it's not about me.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm so glad it's not about me, because I just don't have the ability to hold it all up.
Amen.
I'm telling you, I don't have it. Thank God for Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, I'm telling you, if I was based on my flesh right now, I would have called Pastor Mary and said, you need to preach today. I don't think I can do it. Amen. Matter of fact, my wife, this week has been so difficult. My wife even suggested that Pastor Mary do the worship. And I just sit down. But, you know, but I've just made up my mind. I can't let Satan win.
Amen.
I can't let him win. I'm emotional because God is emotional, praise God.
Amen.
And I'm going to hurt just like anybody else, but I can't let my emotions get the better of me. I can't let my emotions stop me from doing what my duty, glory to God. And my duty is to teach you. But that's to say that this thing ain't about me, because I could fall apart at any moment, praise God. But it's Christ who is the center of everything we do here, praise
Amen.
God. And so Christ, his victory over the devil that we need to center upon. So this is the one time when Jesus actually engaged in an act of destruction, but that destruction was on your behalf, praise God. Hebrews chapter 2, beginning at verse 14, it says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil," praise God.
Amen.
"And deliver," and look at this, "and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage."
Praise God.
Jesus destroyed him that had the power of death. Glory to God.
Amen.
So Jesus certainly, in this case, engaged in an act of destruction, but that destruction was in order to deliver you who were in bondage to the fear of death. Glory to God.
Amen.
See, you know, one of the things that give me comfort during this time of having lost someone is the fact that I know Jesus wasn't responsible for it.
Amen.
Jesus is not, he doesn't give cancer to the people.
That's right. Amen.
See, I know some people get comfort by believing that God has a reason for this and this or that, but I just don't see that in this book, glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
It says that Satan is the one who brings death, not God,
Amen.
Not my Heavenly Father.
Amen.
Now, thank God that God, if you give your life to Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter whether you got cancer, AIDS, or whatever, God will bring you home. And that's part of the victory, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. But you shouldn't have to die that way. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't even have to live with that in your life, praise God.
Amen.
It's hurt. It's painful. You know, Brother Morris just lost his son the other day. Now, and listen to me. I want y'all to understand why I am so hard on trite traditional sayings. Now, while I'm talking to the family, one person, or actually the whole family tells me, you know, the boy was only 27 years old, praise God. And he died so young. And a lot of the family was telling me he was good at sports, he was good at music. I mean, you're talking about somebody that has some potential. And then they were telling me how they believed that a lot of people over there were just jealous of him. And they tell me about the, a lot of you Liberians, y'all can affirm this. But they was telling me that they put some kind of spell on him and killed him off, praise God. Mm-hmm. Does that happen over there in Liberia? Well, it happens in America, I know that. They got what they call the roots doctors over here. I guess y'all got witch doctors over there. The witchcraft is all over the place, whether it's in America or Africa, praise God. But they tell me that was the first thing they told me, that they believe how the boy got killed off was because somebody put some witchcraft on him. And so then after that, you know, my brother starts crying, and he's crying, and he's crying, and then one of the same people that came and told me that they put witchcraft on him, put their arms around him, and said, "Stop crying, you know, the Lord had to take him." I said, "Wait a minute, which one is it?" I didn't say it to them. I said, "Which one is it? Was it witchcraft or was it God?"
Yeah.
I mean, see, you see how mixed up we are in the body of Christ?
Yeah.
We say, one minute we'll say the devil did it, and then the next minute we'll say God did it on the same exact thing.
Yeah.
And so that's why I come down so hard. And I preach and I teach y'all the way I do. And I know that people get in one of, you know, people who listen to my messages online or read some of my stuff, they all want to try to get into these theological debates with me. And you know what? I don't care.
Amen.
I'm going to continue to teach what I teach, praise God.
Yes.
They can call me a heretic, but as long as I stick with what the Word of God says, then you're going to understand the truth at this church. Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory
Praise
to God.
God. Thank you, Lord.
But God came to destroy the devil in order to deliver you. So when God engages in an act of destruction, it is not to hurt anyone within mankind. Praise God.
Amen.
His acts of destruction is to deliver you from the destroyer himself. Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory to God. So death is not one of God's things. The Bible says that the devil held the power of death. Praise God.
Amen.
But you and I were in fear of death, and Jesus delivered you. How many of y'all have come to know Jesus as your Savior and are born again?
Yeah. Hallelujah.
How many of y'all afraid to die? I'm not. I'm not afraid to die. Praise God. I'm not afraid. Now, I don't want to die. Glory. Please don't misunderstand. I believe. Now, some days, you know, you just when you're going through some stuff, it's like, Lord, when are we going to go home?
Yes. Yes.
When is the rapture going to come, Lord? I'm tired of this stuff. But what I'm saying is that we know that we got more things to do. I got a family that I got to take care of because they need me right now. Praise God. My children, whether they believe it or not, they still need me. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. My son, whether he believes it or not, he still needs me around. Now, I've told him that, too. He looks at me funny, but I tell him, I said, you still need me, boy. Praise God.
Amen.
So, this church still needs me right now. Praise Jesus. Yeah, Jesus can replace me at any moment, but I'm saying that at this particular moment, he hasn't yet, so y'all still need me. Amen. Amen. My family in New Jersey and in Washington, D.C. and North Carolina, they all still need me. Praise God. Amen. The world still needs me. Praise God.
Amen.
I mean, this church, whether you know it or not, because we're online, this church has a worldwide ministry. We get hits on our webpage from Russia.
Amen.
But we get a lot of hits from Russia. I'm just starting to wonder, man, what does Putin want with me? we get hits from the Philippines, from South America. We get hits all over the place. Glory to God. We got emails from people telling us that they're listening to the messages and everything. They're reading the books and stuff. We get books ordered from parts of Europe and Canada, praise God. So
Amen.
We get book orders from all over the place. So this church is a worldwide ministry. Ain't y'all glad?
Amen.
Ain't y'all glad y'all tithes and offerings ain't being wasted, is actually producing fruit?
Yes.
Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But you understand that Jesus' act of destruction was to deliver you. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. Another one of my favorite passages of scripture. First John chapter 3, verse 8. I'm sure most of y'all know these are my favorite passages because y'all have heard me preach on them so many different times. But you know, repetition is a good part of teaching because people easily forget. Verse 8 says, listen to this. He that committeth sin is of the who?
The devil.
You know, whenever I sin, it wasn't God that moved me. It was the devil. Praise God.
Amen.
For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. Why? That he might destroy the works of the devil.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
See, you and I have been in bondage to sin. Sometimes we get ourselves back in bondage to sin. But God has provided the blood of Jesus to cleanse us from all sin. Past. Now listen to me. When I say this, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. He gives us his blood to cleanse us from all past, present, and even future sin. Glory to God. Now some people twist that. And they say, well, that means that whatever I do right now, Jesus has already cleansed me by his blood and forgiven me. You don't love the Lord if you're just going to sin outright and make that excuse. Praise God. And you're endangering your soul. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But the thing is that if you sin, the Bible says if you sin, the blood of Jesus, you have an advocate with the Father. Praise God.
Amen.
And the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin.
Yes.
So, Jesus, that the reason why the blood of Jesus can cleanse you from all past, present, and future sin is because Jesus destroyed the works of the devil who introduced sin in the first place. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. He's the original sinner, and anybody who sins is following him. But Jesus destroyed his works. So you have the victory not only over sin because of what Jesus has done, but you have the victory over everything sin has produced. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
See, sin produced sickness. Sin produced poverty. Sin produced natural disasters. Sin produced all these different things that we suffer in this world today. Praise God. God didn't. If sin had never entered into the world, then you would never have sickness, poverty, or any of these other things. Glory to God.
Amen.
You would never have the struggle to succeed. You would succeed automatically. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This would be a better place and a better world. You don't have. You know. I don't know why we've had this idea that we have to have trials in order to make it through. Glory to God.
Yeah.
Trials don't help you. Many people have fallen because of trials.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you what, if you got Jesus and you recognize that he's giving you the victory, then trials are inevitable, but he has already overcome the world.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
And so what we have to do is learn to identify ourselves with Jesus and the destruction that he did over the works of the devil and begin to walk in light of that victory. Ha, glory to God.
Amen.
Are you learning anything?
Amen.
Praise God. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. During the end times, God is going to destroy with some finality the Antichrist who is on his way. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
How many of y'all want to be here when the Antichrist gets here?
Nope.
I got my hand way down. I don't want to be around when the rapture comes. See, that's, you know, they got different beliefs about the coming of Jesus. Some believe that there's a pre-tribulation rapture, and some believe there's a mid-tribulation, you know, in the middle of the tribulation, then we all get raptured. And then there's the people that believe that we have to go through the whole thing until the very end. Glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm a pre-trib guy. Glory to Jesus. Now, they tell me that I'm one of those type of people that want to escape. Yeah. You're absolutely right, I do. Hallelujah. Now, if I have to stay, I'll stay. Glory to God. But if I can leave, I don't want to be around. Praise God. But 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, he said, Paul says, Lord speaking through Paul says, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Praise God.
Amen.
Glory to God. So Jesus will engage in another act of destruction. But again, it's not to hurt any of mankind, but it's to deal with the wicked one, Satan himself. Praise God.
Amen.
So all Jesus' acts of destruction are towards the enemy, not towards you and me. He doesn't do the things that he's often accused of by preachers in pulpits and television and books. Praise God. That's not him. Everything he does, every attack on anybody that he makes is always against our enemy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so that's what he's going to engage in, an act of destruction in the future in which he destroys the Antichrist. Now, listen, beloved, when we talk about acts of destruction, some people got the strange idea that the word destroy means to blow out of existence. That's not true at all. You know, I can destroy this chair, and that doesn't bring a chair out of existence. It just makes it unuseful. Praise Jesus. I can just get an axe and I can just chop this chair up into little bitty pieces, and it doesn't make the chair no longer exist. It just makes it no longer useful for anybody to use. Praise God. And that's the same thing with destruction, with the way Jesus destroys the devil. He made his work inoperative against you. The Satan's work can no longer effectually hurt you, praise God. If you stand against the devil using the truth of God's word. See, if you take the word of God and you remind the devil that he is a defeated enemy, that he's been destroyed, then although he may be able to attack, his attacks can't prevail. Glory to Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. His attacks against your body can't prevail. Amen. His attacks against your family cannot prevail.
Amen.
His attacks against your job, against your well-being, against your health cannot prevail. Amen. Glory to God. Just like Evangelist Julia Early was saying how her father had a stroke. Now she could have said, well, glory to God, maybe it's his time to go. Or she could have done what she did and he got healed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Which one would you prefer if you were having a stroke?
Amen.
I think I'd rather be around the one who knows the word of God.
Amen.
And is willing to pray for healing for me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All of us come to a time, I don't care how strong you are, we all come to a time when we need somebody else to pray. Amen.
Amen.
And I want somebody, if I need somebody to pray, I want somebody around me that's not going to say, well, brother, I think the Lord is taking you home. No, I need somebody that's going to pray and know that Jesus has defeated the devil and that his work and that he's the one trying to destroy my life. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But the thing is that Jesus has made Satan's works inoperative against you. That's exactly what he's going to do to the Antichrist at the end. The Antichrist is going to have full reign and evil is going to prevail on the earth. But when Jesus comes to destroy him, then that's going to be the end of his operations. Praise God.
Amen.
But that doesn't mean that the Antichrist will no longer exist. See, the Antichrist is going to be thrown into the lake of fire burning with brimstone according to Revelation 19:20. Hallelujah. So his destruction does not mean that he will no longer be in existence. It means that he will no longer be able to hurt, harm, and destroy. Glory to God.
Amen.
And turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Another act of destruction that Jesus will be engaging in the end times. See, if we really read our Bibles, a lot of the stuff that we teach and believe and say, we will stop saying it. Oh, glory to God, I'm telling
Amen.
You. Because you can see that death is not a friend of God.
Mm-hmm.
I am a friend of God, but not death. Death is not a tool or a weapon in God's toolbox. God says in Ezekiel, he says, I have no pleasure in him that dieth. He said he preferred that the wicked one turn from his iniquity so that he would not die. God has no pleasure in death. That's not his thing. That's satanic. But look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verses 24. He says, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies, say enemies.
Enemies.
Say enemies.
Enemies.
But he must reign till he has put all, what's the word?
Enemies.
Under his feet. Now look at this. Verse 26. The last, what's that word?
Enemy.
That shall be destroyed is death. Praise God.
Amen.
God does not consider death a friend or a tool or something that he uses.
Amen.
Death is an enemy. Say enemy.
Enemy.
Death, which involves sickness, disease, destruction, anything you can name, sin, is an enemy of God. Praise God.
Amen.
And he said that the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. Praise God.
Amen.
But see, the last enemy, God's going to engage in a final act of destruction, which is death. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, how many of y'all know that song? Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Well, there's another part of that song that says, no more dying there. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We are going to see the King. Praise God.
Amen.
There will be no more dying there. Because we are going to see the King. See, the death was never got part of God's plan from the get-go. Who brought death into the world? Does anybody know?
Adam.
Ooh, somebody, y'all been reading y'all Bibles. Glory to God. If you said sin, you're correct. If you say Adam, you're correct. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it was through one man that death. That sin entered into the world, and death through sin. Praise God. So God didn't bring death into the world. God told Adam, he said, son, he said, listen, you can eat every tree. You got every tree. Eat your heart's desire. Eat your heart out. He said, just one don't touch. Just one. That's all I'm asking. Just one little stinking tree. Don't mess with it.
Yeah.
You got hundreds of trees. Thousands of them. All kinds of fruit. You got apples, bananas, oranges, pears, what have you. Have a feast. But leave that one alone. One tree.
Yeah.
And he just had to have it. Praise God. Him and his wife just had to listen to the devil. God did not want death in this world. If he wanted death in the world, all he had to do was keep his mouth shut. And don't tell Adam anything. And let Adam go ahead and eat from the tree. And then say, oh, you know, I forgot to tell you, that tree, when you eat from that, it's going to bring death into this world. I forgot to tell you that, Adam. I'm so sorry. Well, what can I do now? I mean, if you really think about it, if he really wanted death in this world, he would never have told Adam anything. Praise God.
Amen.
So God never wanted death. Death, as the Bible tells us right here, is an enemy of God. But again, when we say that God will destroy death, that the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, does not mean that death, see, death in the Bible is also a personality. Death and hell, they are personalities, praise God. When you see those movies about where you see the angel of death coming with that that spiky thing, whatever. Yeah, that Sith thing or whatever, yeah. Evangelist Julie, she's more educated than me, with that skull face. There is some truth to that. Praise God. There is a personality behind death. And he's controlled by Satan. If it's not Satan himself, because the Bible does say that he has the power of death. But the thing is that death is an enemy, and the Bible says that death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. In other words, the second death is away from the presence of God, who is life. Glory to God. So God is going to destroy death. Death will exist, but he will be suffering in a lake of fire throughout all eternity. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I'm so glad I ain't going there with them. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to keep my life straight. I'm going to stay clean in Jesus' name and make sure that I don't have to follow him down there. But God then says, if you read the book of Isaiah, talking about during the millennial reign of Christ, during that 1,000-year reign, he says there will be nothing that shall hurt or destroy on my holy mountain. Praise God. So death, when Satan is bound, nothing will be destroyed. God is doing all this for you and me. He didn't bring death into the world. He didn't want death. We were the dummies that brought it in. And we can't just blame Adam because we continue to sin ourselves. Praise God. But despite the stupid stuff we do, Jesus, through self-sacrificing love, says, I will go die for them. Praise God. He says, I will go down there and I will deal with the bondage that they're in, that they put themselves in. See, when you understand that, you will appreciate God so much more. Hallelujah. See, so often, because we don't understand these truths, and because we listen to all these trite, ridiculous teachings by other people, we don't really learn to appreciate the great sacrifice that Jesus has made on our behalf. None of this was his fault. None of the mess we see today is his fault.
Amen.
He is trying to rescue us from the mess. The mess that we made by listening to the devil. Praise God. And so, as we understand the one act of destruction that Jesus has engaged in through his death, burial, and his resurrection, as we begin to understand the future acts of destruction that he will do to the Antichrist, to Satan, and to death and hell, then we understand that any act of destruction that Jesus has ever engaged in was not because he was angry, throwing a temper tantrum, and trying to destroy us, praise God. His acts of destruction were meant to save us. They were calculated. They were designed to provide a way for you and I to get out of the destruction that Satan was bringing our way. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So as we understand this truth about whether or not does God engage in destruction, we can now say, put a yes and no at the end of this thing. The answer is no, he doesn't engage in the acts of destruction that he's often accused of by well-meaning preachers and Christians and many atheists and insurance companies.
Yes,
the acts of the ox of God. We don't insure for acts of God. You know, come on, y'all. Can you at least say, if you're not going to insure us, just at least put the blame in the right place for acts of Satan. Thank you.
Amen.
I mean, I'm quite offended by that. You know, as I gotten to know my God, you know, you say stuff like that, you'd make me mad. But the thing is that he doesn't engage in those type of acts of destruction. But the acts of this, we can say, yes, he does engage in acts of destruction because he destroyed the devil and his works on our behalf. He's going to destroy the Antichrist when he comes back.
Amen.
At the end of the tribulation. And he's going to destroy death. And we will never die no more. We will never fear death. We will never have sickness again. We will never suffer disease anymore. We will never be afraid of natural disasters, falling off of, climbing up a ladder and falling off of it, or any of that kind of stuff. We will never, ever be afraid of any of that stuff ever again. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. We won't have to worry about a car, or a bus, or a truck running over us, or any of those type of things. Because all that is the result of death. Glory to God. Death ruling in this world. Accidents, sickness, disease, natural disasters, all that is death ruling in this world. But once Jesus has dealt with the final acts of destruction on our behalf, we never have to worry about it again. Praise God.
Amen.
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 Amen. Are you encouraged today?
Yes. Amen.
Stand to your feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I preached myself just a little bit happier today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. It always helps when you're going through some difficult times to remember the God that you have loves you,
yes,
has sacrificed so much for you, and he's on your side. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. It doesn't matter what you're dealing with. I tell you, I've been serving this God for almost 32 years now, and he's not failed me yet.
Praise him.
Praise him. Let's just lift our hands and begin to worship him.
Thank you,
Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Bless your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know what? Let's sing that song we were just singing a moment ago.
Soon and very soon, We are going to see the King soon and very soon. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, soon and very soon. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King. No more dying there. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, no more dying there. We are going to see the King. Oh, no more dying there. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King. Yes, some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shores. I'll fly away. I'm singing, I'll fly away. Oh, glory, I'll fly away. Yeah, when I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. I'm singing, I'll fly away. Oh, glory, I'll fly away. Yeah, when I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'm singing, I'll fly away. Oh, glory, I'll fly away. Yeah, when I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, Jesus, bow your heads, close your eyes.